morning, everyone. It's good to have you here on this Father's Day. Fathers, it's good to have you and all the fathers who are watching us online this morning. I remember, like it happened yesterday, my very first Father's Day when Tiffany made me a father, and I won the Youngest Father Award. That was a very long time ago, but I still remember it as though it happened yesterday. Fathers, the most important thing that I could ever do for you is not a sermon, which I'm not going to have the atypical Father's Day sermon today. We're going to continue our series on Peter Preaches. Fathers, the best thing I could ever do for you is to pray for you, as I did long before the sun came up this morning. And I want to speak this to every father that's in the building. You are not handicapped to lead, not only as a father, but in the areas that you have leadership responsibilities. Never accept from the devil, the deceiver. I know people don't talk about the devil anymore. He is real. He's a deceiver. And he wants you to believe that you're handicapped in your ability to lead. I'm here to declare to you that you are called to lead. You are not handicapped. And some of you here may not be fathers yet. I want you to hear this. There is somebody younger who's watching you and looking towards you as a father figure. I would say to you, lead well. Because you don't know who's watching you. Somebody's watching you. Matter of fact, they're watching you very closely, more closely than you realize. So fathers, you are called to lead. Those of you who are not fathers yet, you're leading someone that's younger than you. And remember, you're not handicapped. You are God's child, chosen to lead. Can you receive that and accept that? Then say amen. That means so be it in my life. So all fathers stand, and I'm going to pray for you. Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name, and today all the fathers are standing. And I hope those that can, that are not in service with their own fathers that are a part of NEC, but those who are watching online that are doing Father's Day activities right now, will just stop for a moment and just stand. Now, Father, I pray for every father, every man that's leading in some way. And God, I ask you this day to empower them with all that they need. And Father, that can be many things or a few things, from patience to grace, to love, to kindness. It's everywhere. And whatever that need is, God, I ask that you empower them today with what they need to lead well. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Next Sunday, we have a special service. We're going to be talking to Chris, have a conversation with Chris about all the miracles that have manifested in his life since he was in the hospital. And we're going to get into some of the details next Sunday. And here's what I want to say to you. Does someone that you know need evidence of the power of God? Anybody know someone who needs evidence of the power of God? Oh, come on. Somebody knows somebody that needs evidence of the power of God. Then you're responsible this week to at least invite them. Well, they won't come. Invite them. They're always telling you, give me evidence. Well, Chris is going to give you some evidence of the power of God. And if you know somebody that doesn't know Jesus, they need to be here next Sunday. And I want to encourage you to do that and to bring them. Now, we've been talking about Peter Preaches. Now, Peter and John had gone to the 3 o'clock prayer meeting at the temple. On their way in, there's a lame man that had been brought there. He was always there. He's at the temple gate called the Beautiful Gate, and he's asking for money. He asks Peter and John for money. They tell him, we don't have that source for you, but we have something that you have great need of, and that we have we're going to give to you. And so he tells him to stand up and be healed, and the man is instantly, miraculously, supernaturally, suddenly healed. And this causes a commotion, and all these people rush in. Because they're astonished at what's going on, and they come to Peter and John. And Peter takes the moment, the opportunity that's given to him, and he preaches. He doesn't hesitate. He preaches. He preaches out of what he's been constantly preparing himself with. We've been talking about we are to stay prepared. Why are we supposed to stay prepared? I thought, Pastor, that's what you're supposed to do. I am, but so are you. We're all supposed to stay prepared because one of the great tasks of the church, a responsibility of the church, is it is up to the church to preach. It's one of our main tasks. And we've established that preaching is not getting loud and shouting. Preaching is the proclamation, the broadcasting of divine truth through what? The good news gospel. When you share your story, when you share the kingdom of God from the good news gospel, you are preaching. So when you have told 1,000 people already that I'm not a preacher, you have not been telling them the truth. You are a preacher. If you're a child of God, you are called to preach, to broadcast the good news gospel, the divine truth. Now, Peter and John have all these people run to them. Peter preaches a very brief message, very powerful message. We looked at some insights, four of them, into that message that are very vital to us today in how we should preach the gospel. Now, today, we're going to stay with Peter and John because something else happens to Peter and John. While they're preaching, or he's preaching, and John, I'm sure, is adding into it, at least with some amens and glory hallelujahs, they are arrested. And they are taken into custody, and they're going to be taken to court. And this court that they're going to face is the same court with Annas and Caiaphas are going to be there. This is the same court that Jesus stood in front of 3 months earlier. Now, I want you to grab a hold of the gravity of what's about to take place. They're preaching the gospel, and they're going to be dragged off to court, arrested. Okay? Hang on to that thought because it's going to be important in a little bit. Now, they're dragged off. They're going to stand before this court. A court that had judged Jesus. This is where they're going to be. They're going to be standing before some of the most educated, most powerful leaders in the Jewish community at that time. This is where they're going. These are just two fishermen that have been arrested for preaching the gospel. Now I'm going to share a pen truth with you. We're also going to continue our quotes from other leaders about preaching this morning. And my opening pen truth is this: there is a power higher than the court and higher than education. The courts are important. Education's important. But never believe that there's nothing higher than the court or education. There is a power greater than the courts. There is a power greater than education. John Scott said this about preaching. Preaching is indispensable to Christianity because Christianity is based on the truth that God chose to use words to reveal himself to humanity. What is one of the major tasks of the church is to preach the gospel of the news, good news. And how are you going to do that? Sign language? Those who can't speak will. And I'm going to tell you what, some of them are doing an awesome job getting the gospel out. Because I've been around them. I used to work with them. And they get to going, and I'm sitting, I'm caught. I'm going, what are they saying? What are they saying? They can attract a crowd real fast. And then they start telling them what they're saying. Oh gosh, they're preaching the gospel to me. If they're aggressive enough to use the ability they have to communicate with their hands, most of us who can speak, we need to be using what God has given us. And we need to speak the Word of God. I worked with special needs kids for nearly 24 years. Spent a lot of time around the ones that could sign. And the ones that were Christians were bold. You got a voice. What do we need to be? Bold. We need to be bold. Now let's pick up the story so we can walk into the arrest. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. And as they were speaking to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. We established last week preaching's all about who? Jesus. It's not about you or your accomplishments. It's about Jesus' accomplishments through you. But it's about Jesus. Okay? Now, verse 3. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. Now, we're going to review two passages of Scripture from part 1. The first one is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the Word of God. Be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. In a very short span, the time was favorable after the healing, right? And now they're arrested. Now it's not. Now ask yourself the question, if you got arrested for preaching the gospel today, how excited are you going to be about continuing to preach the gospel in jail? Are we going to go to jail and whine? Or cry, or be upset, or, you know, there's all these things we might do, right? There might be things come to the surface we didn't even know was there. Now, they have been arrested. Now, the time is not favorable, but what does the Scripture tell us to do? When the time is favorable and when it's what? Not. It's not always going to be favorable, but we need to always be prepared and always be ready when God opens the door, right? Paul's in prison. Chained. I mean, chained in the dungeon. You study the history of that moment in time, and you read all the other stuff that's written about it, and you find out he had a captivated audience. He had a whole bunch of people in chains, and he had a bunch of prison guards that were around him all the time. Do you think Paul sat there and did nothing? Paul worshiped God and preached to all of them. That's why it's said that he turned the city around. When it's favorable and when it's not. Matthew chapter 10, verse 18. You will stand trial before governors. Jesus speaking to the disciples. You will stand trial before governors and kings because you are my followers. But this will be your opportunity to tell the rulers and other unbelievers about me. When you are arrested, don't worry about how to respond or what to say. God will give you the right words at the right time. For it is not you who will be speaking, it will be the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. We must stay prepared. And when the moment presents itself, it's not go through your mind through all your sermons that you have prepared. It is, okay, I have stayed prepared. Now I'm going to let the Holy Spirit begin to bring up what I need to say. And I'm going to have a flow of words that's going to change the people who are listening to me. You have to stay prepared. Why did I say in the first week that we don't stay prepared? Because we've allowed life to have rulership over our life and our call to preach the good news gospel. We've allowed life. Allowed life. Can I step on a sacred cow? Some of us have allowed video games. Oh, that's only for kids. What have we allowed in our life that is robbing us from opportunity to fill ourselves up with the very thing that's going to change everything around us? Well, I don't like my environment. I don't like my situation. We'll spend more time in the Word until it saturates you and the overflow comes out of you and your circumstances begin to change. Because it can't resist the truth. Martin Luther said, preach and live as if Jesus was crucified yesterday, rose from the dead today, and is returning tomorrow. My favorite quote on preaching. It's so good, I'm going to read it again. Preach and live as if Jesus was crucified yesterday, rose from the dead today, and is returning tomorrow. Because you know what? He could. Well, I've been hearing that since 1973. Yeah, and the moment you say that to somebody one day, all of a sudden, boom, you're going to go, oops. We're going to look at some more insights to what we should do when we preach from this sermon that Peter is about to preach after he's arrested. Okay? After he's arrested. Number one, preach, God gets the glory. I'm around a lot of places and I am burdened with this lack from the church that people are taking credit for what God did. Because we want to be seen and heard. We live in a selfie world that wants to be noticed. We won't say that we want to be worshipped, but we do want to be noticed. We want people to know how smart we are, how in touch with God I am, how in tune with the Spirit I am. And the reality is, if we're going to reach the world, they got to know where it's coming from. So I've got to glorify the source. Amen? That God is using me to do something. Oh God, thank you so much for using me. Because I wouldn't use me, but you just used me. And that is so cool. And I just want them to know how cool this is. And I'm going to let them know how I used to be who I am now because of how good you are. And the only reason they're getting good is because of you. Come on. We've got to glorify God. Now, Acts chapter 4, verse 7. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, by what power or by what name did you do this? Wrong question to ask these boys. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, anybody here filled? Then we should be preaching. Filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, and by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified. Wow. Bold, huh? Now remember, this is the same court that what? Crucified who? Jesus. This is the same court that could crucify him. I doubt very seriously you're going to be crucified for standing up and saying this is because of Jesus. Now he could be crucified. Let it be known to all of you and all to all the people of Israel that my name, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. It's not because I fasted for 80 days and it's not because I heard the Holy Spirit. Praise God. It's because I am prepared and I am full of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit began to move upon me and I begin to yield myself to the empowerment of the Holy Spirit and I'm going to speak some truth to you that's going to set you free. And it's all coming because of the risen Christ. Anybody with me so far? We give glory where glory should be given. Now, this is a nightmare to Annas and Caiaphas. A nightmare. Because he's bringing up Jesus Christ, that this is all about Jesus Christ. Peter's letting them know, saying to them, the Jesus you crucified hasn't gone away. The Jesus you crucified, well, you didn't succeed because God raised him from the dead. I would love to have been there in that moment, just, you know, Jesus, just let me just, that'd be so cool to watch the look on their face. I'm sure they were going, oh, here we go again, you know. This is happening because of Jesus Christ. Preaching is all about Jesus. Let me add to that from last week. Preaching's all about glorifying Christ's name. And that's what he's doing and that's what we should do. And no other name, okay? Well, me and my prayer group, because of us, this is the reason why that happened. You know how that should be said? Because I've heard that. You know how that should be said? Because of the prayer group being sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, He led us to pray about that. And because we obeyed God, He moved in your behalf. Who just got the glory for that? He did. But we live in a selfie world that wants some gratification. And if you want the bigger things of God to take place that you've been praying about, then we're going to have to glorify Him first. Amen? Him first. Chuck Swindoll said this: when intimidated by who's sitting in the audience, we should remember the King of Kings is also here. And it's His message, not mine. It's His message. The moment we start owning it's ours is the moment things are tough. This isn't my message. Matter of fact, I've already said some things I wouldn't say, but God wants it said. Because it's His message, not mine. Number two, insight. In this short sermon that He preaches to these leaders, number two, preach Jesus is the cornerstone. Let me explain that. Let's read Acts chapter 4, verse 11. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you. Man. It's like He's saying, crucify me, crucify me, crucify me. You rejected Him. We run around going, don't be mad at me for what I'm about to say. I'm going to witness to you, but don't be mad. When you shake up the devil's world, things happen. And you need to remember that Jesus is there. He never leaves you or forsakes you, correct? You're not alone. He's with you. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. Verse 12. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Peter quotes from Psalms 118:22. Let's read that. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. The cornerstone is the foundation. The foundation of what? Everything. Everything is built upon Jesus and the cross. There is no other gospel. There is no other name above His name. There is no other way to salvation. There's only one way, and it's through Jesus Christ. But people are trying to offer other avenues and ways and massage it so people feel more comfortable and so they're happy with you and they're happy. And you can still get here by going this away and that away. No, there's one way and it's narrow. It's to Jesus. He's the cornerstone. If you don't touch base with the cornerstone, you haven't touched base with the power yet. That's a good word. You want to touch base with the power, you got to touch base with the cornerstone. There's not many other ways. There's no other names that you can be saved. There's one. Here's what man's trying to do. Man's trying to fit the cornerstone, the foundation, into its religious systems and man-made systems. I was listening this morning to Mark. As I was praying, I put on Mark, and Mark was explaining about systems. And he said, you've created systems. And then I was listening to an Old Testament reading, and in the Old Testament it was talking about how they had set up their own man-made systems and called it religious, trying to create other avenues. There is no other avenue. We need to speak truth and quit trying to always be the person who everybody's going to be happy with, because I'm going to present the gospel in a more watered-down way, in a more fluid way that kind of pulls back from some of the truths so someone doesn't get offended. The Word of God will offend. It will offend. Because it is breaking away at the sin. And I don't want anybody captivated by sin. Do you? Truth. He's speaking truth. We need to speak truth. Pen truth here. Jesus Christ cannot fit into man's systems. He can't be built on man's religion. We build everything upon what? The cornerstone, the foundation, Jesus Christ. And the truth of that gospel. If it says it, that's the way it is. And until we believe wholeheartedly that there is no error here, we will compromise it. And that's not helping anybody. John Newton said, "My grand point in preaching is to break the hard heart and to heal the broken one." The Word of God is a two-edged sword, correct? And we need to be releasing the sword. Number three, preach the evidence. You need to preach the evidence of your own changed life. You need to preach the evidence of someone else's changed life. You need to preach the evidence of the miracles in your life. Well, I've never had a miracle like Rochelle had, where her feet were all crooked and she's going to wear braces the rest of her life and all of a sudden they straightened out. You've had miracles. You have. You had one this morning. You're breathing. Miracles. Share other people's miracles. The evidence. You need to share the evidence. It's important that we share the evidence. Here's a serious question I need to ask today. Has your life really changed from this moment today, from this moment 1 year ago? Are you a different person from January to today? Maybe the change hasn't been a whole lot, but maybe there's some change. Why don't you share the evidence of how God is continually changing you moment by moment by moment? Change. We have to be changed. I just recently told somebody, I said, I can see the change in just a few months' time of what God is doing in your life. Now, they can take that information and tell the devil to shut up. God is working in my life. And number two, I'm going to go share what God is doing for me with others who need to hear that. Share the evidence. Is there evidence in your life that there's been change? Here's the bigger question. Is it recognizable? These are important things if we're going to preach the gospel. Is everybody with me? And how are you going to live a changed life? You're going to have to stay prepared and have the gospel of the good news in your life, not every now and then, every day, and every chance you get, you put the word in you. Amen? Watch this in Acts chapter 4, verse 13. "And now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished." This is the part of the verse that's important. "And they recognized that they had been with Jesus." Somebody in the group recognized this is the same Peter who denied Christ and ran away. Isn't this the same dude that denied Jesus after running around with him? And then he ran away himself? Somebody recognized it. That's the man. And I think John was in on this, some of this too. I think he ran away too. Now evidence is standing in front of them. in front of this court that Peter is standing, and is Peter running? Is Peter trying to get himself out of it? In no way. He boldly said, "You crucified him." It's time for the church to have some boldness. Some boldness. Peter is no longer afraid. And the evidence of changed men is in front of them. Here is two men who were once cowards who are now bold witnesses of Jesus Christ. Listen, unto death. Wow. Unto death. We are to share the evidence. When Chris is up here next Sunday, we're going to be sharing the evidence. Well, that's just what Chris says. No, what Chris is going to say has got doctors and nurses and not a few, a whole bunch of them. And not all of them are believers, but they're all beginning to believe that there must be something more powerful. The evidence. We're going to be presenting evidence. And I am not stupid to the way the world is. There will be people, I'll probably get emails and say, none of that was true, this, and this, and that, and, you know, and try to shoot it down. That's not going to change a thing. I'm just going to come back and say, the evidence is real. You're going to have to make a choice. Can't be afraid of what the world will say. We've got to declare what the Bible says. And don't forget the evidence of the crippled man standing beside them. Everybody had passed by this guy wanting money. Even in that court, some of them had given him money. They knew who he was because everybody went to the temple. And he's standing beside them. And they're seeing the evidence. Evidence. Evidence with Colin a couple of years ago. Evidence all sitting right there in one place. I mean, you know. Doctors and nurses and many hospitals. Evidence. When was the last time you shared the evidence of the empowering presence of God in your life and in others' lives? The truth. Well, I don't know whether they'll believe. Well, if you don't share, you won't find out. Acts 4:14. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. You want to shut the mouth of the enemy? Present evidence that they cannot refute. Your changed life is evidence they can't refute. Especially people who knew you. Especially people you dealt with last year who are running into you this year and they're wondering, wow, what a change. Thought you was pretty good last year, but man, you're getting so far out there, I'm starting to feel convicted. This man had never stood for 40 years. You need to share your Jesus stories. And to my kids, just a note, when mom shares all her Jesus story, don't say, oh, here we go again. Mom's rehearsing to you about the power of a risen Christ. It's Father's Day, so I get to say that to my kids. Richard Baxter said this, I love this, I preach as never sure to preach again, and as a dying man to dying men. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. I can see the intensity on Peter's face. Remember, he's a hardcore fisherman. But what has happened over a period of time is that Peter has become so full of compassion and concern and love because he knows these men don't know Jesus. And I'll bet you if you were in the room, someone would say, well, he was just coming on strong. No, he was speaking truth. But I bet you there was so much love and compassion coming from him, they just didn't know what to do with it. And he was impacting their lives. Remember, impacting their lives unto death. I doubt seriously you're going to face that. Or myself. My final statement this morning is from history. On July the 9th, 1876, Charles Haddon Spurgeon declared in his sermon, "The motto of all true servants of God must be," are we true servants of God? "We preach Christ and Him crucified. A sermon without Christ in it is like a loaf of bread without any flour in it." And I don't think I put the other piece up there. I'm going to go ahead and read it. I went ahead and pinned it down part the rest of that. He said, "No Christ in your sermon, sir? Then go home. And never preach again until you have something worth preaching." And if you're a Christian, you've got something worth preaching. So if you run home, you're hiding out and you're not obeying the command of God. And what is our command to do? Go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them what? To come in. We've got to preach. Remember, God moves through His people. It's an empowerment of the Holy Spirit through human personality. Okay? I keep being drawn to Jay. I was just thinking about the way I would present the gospel and the way Jay would present the gospel. I promise you'd be totally different. But see, you know why it's so different? Because I can't reach who he can reach. We all need to be preaching the gospel. Well, I don't know a whole lot of word. Why don't you share the word you do know? Why don't you share the rhema you do have? Well, I don't have as much revelation as you do. I don't care. You have a revelation about something? Well, yeah, share it. You know why? Because it is absolutely seated in you. And when you speak it, they're going to hear the faith. You need to share it. I know somebody may be sitting out there and go, "Whew, I'm glad this is the last of this sermon series." But see, there's a Holy Spirit that's not going to let you forget. And let me tell you the biggest thing that the church has got to repent of is trying to rework this pure gospel to fit things that are sinful. Church needs to learn the power of repentance and not frustrating the grace of God. Amen? We need to get out and reach people for Jesus. I don't have all the details right here at this moment, but Rhonda has been stirred to do some stuff in August to go out and witness to people. So we're going to be talking more about that as we move along. And for all of you Peters and Johns and Pauls, which should be the whole church, there's going to be opportunity to go out and share your story in creative, unique ways that you'll learn more about. And Rhonda will be sharing more of that as we get closer. She didn't know that, but she's going to be sharing more of that as we get closer. She's finding out right now. So that's how the pastor works. Okay. Let's stand on this Father's Day. And let's remember what I spoke to the fathers, I now speak to everyone. Stop believing the lie that you're handicapped and you can't preach. Okay? As I said, when Angela was up here and we were having a conversation with Angela, you may never be on this platform, but God is presenting a platform to you most every day, and you need to step up on it and present the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ. Father, as we stand today, I thank you for your Holy Spirit's empowerment falling right now upon every person to empower them to go preach the good news gospel in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.